Turn with me to the book of Micah in chapter 6. Micah chapter 6. Now, I've been using Colossians 4 and verse 12 and verse 13 as my springboard and foundational verse about all of the will of God. Epaphras was the servant of the Lord at that church who was praying for his church family that all of them would stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. And, you know, God's will is by nature good, acceptable, and perfect.
Yes, it is.
And therefore, it is satisfying. It will satisfy, as we talked about this morning, about the idols that people are putting in their minds and in their lives. They're looking for satisfaction. Jesus Christ told us, he said, "Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." And he said, if you would just trust me and understand that, he said, my meat is to do the Father's will. It's not the safest place, but it is the most satisfying place. It's being in the will of the Father. Because, you know, he'll come up beside you. He'll use the angels, he'll use the spirit, he'll use the scriptures, he'll use songs, he'll use the saints of God to encourage you and strengthen you while you are in his will. When Jesus was in the garden and he was just, just bearing down in his prayer life where his sweat was as drops of blood, the Bible says an angel visited him and strengthened him in that situation. Do not ever count out the spirit world of the millions, yea, billions of angels that God has at his disposal to encourage and minister to the saints and do minister. Sometimes you may not recognize them. He says, therefore, be careful when you entertain strangers, because sometimes it might be an angel that God sent your way to encourage you and strengthen you. Now, it won't be any church members. We know they're not angels, okay? We already know that. If they are, they're fallen, that's for sure. I'm just kidding. Don't get bent out of shape. But I will stand by that. You're not an angel. Amen. But I will say that God will send people your way to encourage you. If you get in his perfect will, man, you will live a life that God will minister to you. When you need it the most, he will strengthen you. He is the God of all comfort. And buddy, I'm telling you, he'll come to you when he sees. He knows the difference between when you need help and when you're just pouting.
Right, right.
And he ain't going to help you when you're pouting. He doesn't respond to poochy lips. But I'll tell you what he does respond to. His child that loves him, who's burdened and who needs some encouragement and wants to do right, he comes right up beside him at the right time. He's like that.
Amen.
The scope of God's will is its vastness. Its length, its depth, its height, its breadth, beyond human understanding, how that God, you know, when Jesus was praying and taught us how to pray, he said that we should pray, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Yes, sir.
Now, let's talk about the scale. How do we measure ourselves to determine whether we are actually in the will of God, and is it possible that we can know that we are in the will of God? I don't know why in the world you wouldn't want to know.
Right.
I think it's the best place to be.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going through something, Brother David, I just want to know, is this God's will? Am I in the Lord's will while I'm going through this? Have I stepped out somewhere? Have I done something wrong that's brought this upon me? I want to know if I'm in the Lord's will. But the scale, how do you measure this? I want to remind you of the three circles that you are standing in. One of those three, you are standing in the circle that would be, I would call, self-will, your will. You're doing what you want to do. Nobody's going to tell you what to do. You're going to do your own thing. You're self-willed. Did you know it disqualifies a pastor from the ministry if he is a self-willed man? Jesus Christ, as our example, he was not a self-willed man. He was yielded to the Father's will. He would stand where he needed to, and he would serve where he needed to. Whatever the Father wanted him to do, he was yielded to it.
Yes.
Not self-willed. And then the other circle that you're standing in is that one that I call others' will. This is where you're allowing people to influence you. And they're impacting you and moving you out of the Lord's will. And you're allowing it. You are not a victim. You determine who influences you. You can't determine sometimes who you work beside, who you go to school with, and what family you're born into, and some of your nerdy kinfolks. But you can determine who influences you. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so don't let other people push you out of the will of God. Don't let them impact your life. Don't allow them to intimidate you or even inspire you to step outside of the will of God. But then there's that third circle that I want all of us in. Let's expand that circle. Let's get everybody in this room inside God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Tonight, I want to cover some of the basics that is true for all of us, but I'm not going to deal tonight with a geographical position of whether you are in the will of God or not. Should I be in Texas? Should I be in Louisiana? Should I be in Alaska? Should I be in Papua New Guinea? I'm not dealing with a geographical location tonight. I'm going to deal with your disposition. So that no matter where you are, even if you're at the wrong place at the wrong time, God has a will for your disposition at all times. Do you understand? I mean, seriously. We're talking about your disposition. We're talking about your attitude and your spirit. How that you treat God and how you treat those around you. You can't always determine where you are geographically. Sometimes things happen. Brother Beyer recommended a book for me to read, and I'm almost finished with it, and it's called The Insanity of God. I encourage you to get it and read it. It will change your attitude about some things. It's about the suffering of saints around the world. And I'm telling you, and in that, a lot of folks are carried away in different countries, are carried away from their homes and placed in prisons. They are not there by choice. But in those prisons, they have chosen to remain believers and maintain a disposition that is according to the will of God. I believe that Joseph did. I believe whatever happened to Joseph, no matter the circumstances he was in, he always remained in the will of God when it came to the disposition that he presented to other people. That's why, Brother Jacob, the Lord was always with him. The Lord is attracted to certain dispositions, and I mean by that honesty and humility. God's drawn to that.
Yes.
Now, let's talk about just a few of those. All right, look in Micah chapter number 6. And I want you men and women to please receive what I have to say tonight. I want to help you. We'll cover these quickly tonight. Look in Micah chapter 6, look in verse 8. There's three of them mentioned here. No matter where you are and what's going on in your life, no matter your age, Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says this. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. All right, so now we're going to look at some of the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It says, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? To do justly. This simply means for you to live honestly, truthfully, with justice in mind, and to always do what is right according to the Word of God. Don't use your scales. Use His scale of what is righteous, not according to your feelings, but not what is convenient, but what is the right thing to do. This means in order for you to maintain this disposition to be a just man and to treat people justly, you cannot be influenced. When conflict occurs or controversy occurs, and it will, you cannot be influenced by family or finances or partiality. It's like the saying that someone raised on a cold day, somebody raised the window and let the cool air in. What determined whether or not it was a cold draft or a welcoming breeze was who raised the window. Because you are partial. And the Lord requires men of God and God's men to be impartial. And you are to, and listen, when you, people assume that you're going to be on their side no matter what side they're on. Did you hear what I just said? Did you let that sink in? What if they're on the wrong side? God wants you to deal justly. And it's going to put some pressure on you if you deal justly. These things are contrary to the world system. If I go into court and somebody is suing me or I'm in a court under some kind of situation needing justice, I fear that justice may not come my way. If I'm right with God, I should never fear justice. If I'm doing what's right, I should never fear justice. But I fear that somebody has slipped some lawyer some money, and I'm afraid that justice does not have a blind eye in America anymore. Truth is falling in the streets. It's who can hire the best lawyer, not about what is right and what is wrong. But I need to move on from that. You need to do justly. Whatever you do, you need to, wherever you are, do justly. Number two, he said, love mercy. He didn't just say show mercy. He said, love mercy. I have a just right maybe to hammer you over something. I have leverage on you because you know that you've messed up. I may have some legal leverage on you. I may can harm you legally and justly. But instead, I choose to help you and to forgive you. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Now, you may turn that upside down, and the next time it may not work out that way, but my desire would be to have mercy upon you. And by the way, if you're merciful, God is merciful back to you. If you're a merciful person, walk humbly. Man, we talked about pride for a long time around here last year. Walking humbly. What does that really mean? Well, I believe it means to acknowledge His authority over me. And to accept that authority over me. And willingly submit myself to His word and His will. To acknowledge when I sin against Him, my transgressions, and not blame anybody else for my own choices and be responsible for my own behavior, and to agree with God against myself, and to pursue His honor and His glory, even if that means I have to apologize because I was wrong in something. Walking humbly before the Lord. I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter 4, verse 8, real quick. Let's cover these quickly. Look with me in, that's three things. I'm going to give you number four here. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8. Please get this. No matter where you are, the circumstances you find yourself to be in, and maybe you question whether or not you're in the right place, right location, right geographical place, whatever. Maybe you feel like you're at the wrong job. Maybe you feel like that you're in just the wrong place, but whatever. God has a will for you when it comes to your disposition. When it comes to this, look in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 8. When you see this phrase, above all things, do you think maybe that's a priority, Brother Doug? You think maybe God has put that up there at the top? He says above all. He says above all things have fervent what? Okay. So He would have us to walk justly, mercifully, humbly, and charitably. He says in verse 8, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. I don't think that you're trying to cover up something that needs to be dealt with. I think it's the fact that you got a brother that's trying to head in the right direction and he's failed. And you're trying to help him get back on track. And you're able to forgive him and overlook that and help him go on. There's a difference in when a man is trying to walk toward the Lord and he falls, and another man is walking away from God. There is a difference. We talk about being charitable. Listen to this. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says, let all your things be done with charity. Everything you do, your work, your time at the house, whether you're working on a fence, digging a hole, whether you're hunting or fishing, whether you're in the prisons, nursing home, loading wood, under a porch somewhere, working on a pipe. He said, whatever you're doing, let everything that you do be done with a spirit and a disposition of charity. Boy, I want that for us. I do. He said in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he said, follow after charity. Colossians 3:14 says, above all things, put on charity. This is how serious this is. Maybe I think God has called me to preach. Maybe God has gifted me to be able to handle the scriptures. But according to 1 Corinthians 13, my spiritual gifts and my service and my sacrifices mean absolutely and will profit me nothing if I do not have charity in what I am doing. My disposition. What is charity? Don't let the world define for you what God says in His Word about charity. We're not talking about goodwill. We're not talking about the March of Dimes. I appreciate philanthropists. I appreciate people who take their monies that the Lord, whether they acknowledge the fact that God helped them to increase in wealth, but some folks want to take their wealth and they want to try to make a difference in poor people's lives. I appreciate that. I really do. That's not what the Bible's referring to here. The world calls it that. But it's a lot bigger than that. Me walking charitably, it means that I'm going to put up with you when it's hard to put up with you. You say, Brother Roger, that's not a problem. People love me. Obviously, you love you too. But it is being long-suffering and suffering long with people. That's real charity. That's real shoe leather charity. It is not being envious over the blessings and the prosperity of my brother, but rejoicing with those that rejoice. I would love for you to be able to say, Brother Roger, look, man, I just got me a brand new truck. Would you come out here and look at it? I say, I'm going to say, is it a Ford? But you know what? I'll be charitable. If it's a Chevrolet, I'm going to go out there and rejoice with you. Amen? I don't care what kind it is. If you, now when I say I'm going to rejoice with you, as long as you did not put yourself head over heels, deep in debt to where you can't serve the Lord, I can't rejoice with you over that. But I can rejoice with you if you're taking care of your finances and you're a giver and God's blessed you. And man, you've been driving stuff that's got just wore slap out and the Lord has given you something and I'm just tickled to death for you. Have you ever had people come over to your house sometimes and they look at how the Lord has blessed you over 20 or 30 years of hard work and labor and giving and saving and being prudent and wise, and they come over to your house and they start looking at what you got and you can see that in their eyes that, and you see the eye of envy. That's why sometimes families are hesitant to have other families come over to their house. Because they know people can't look at you the same if they see how and what you have or how successful that you are. And how that God may have blessed your child in a certain way and gifted your child in certain ways. Maybe their child can sing like a canary and yours sings like a crow. I don't know where that came from. Man, it just popped up. But I meant it in love. Because I loved saying it. Yeah. But do you understand that listen, I don't want to be envious, but it may be your day for the church that God just honors you and exalts you and to encourage you in front of the church or other families or whatever. That's your day. I need to rejoice over that. It was your day to be encouraged. It was your day for people to say something to you and about you. Your day will come if you'll rejoice with them and show some charity. Amen. At work, maybe somebody got promoted over you. That's tough to take. Especially when you know politics are going on behind the scene. That's real hard to take for a man. We're egotistical by nature. And we work hard and we want to be noticed for what we do and we want to be rewarded for what we do. It's in our nature. And it's really God's way of doing things. When somebody gets promoted beyond us because of who they know, because of politics, boy, it's hard to have a good attitude and to show some charity toward that situation. That's where you got to trust God. And you got to believe that the Lord is still, that goes back to the scope of God's will. That God will promote you when He's ready to promote you. God will promote you when He's ready to promote you. He will let you find favor in the eyes of men when He's ready for you to find favor in the eyes of men. That's the way God works. He just wants you to trust Him. He wants you to trust Him. But my attitude matters to God. The Lord does not want me to promote myself. He does not want me to behave unseemly. He does not want me to be selfish. And He wants me to be slow to anger. This shows charity and giving people the benefit of the doubt. Showing charity to a brother. If there's a conflict between two families, you don't have to get engaged in it. Give both families the benefit of the doubt. You love them and you serve with them and let the Lord work that out between those two families. Remember, M-Y. Thank you very much. M-Y-O-B. Mind your own business. Is that the will of God? It is. Study to be quiet. Mind your own business. The Bible says so. Be charitable. Look in 1 Thessalonians real quick in chapter 5, verse number 18. I'm almost done here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Are y'all still listening? Man, it's only 6:45. Why am I feel rushed here? 1 Thessalonians, you say, oh no, he saw what time it is. No, don't think that way. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Now, God, in my disposition, no matter what's going on, the Lord would have me to do justly and to love mercy, to be merciful, to walk humbly, to walk charitably. In chapter 5, verse number 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I can't necessarily thank God, and He understands, for everything. But I can thank Him in everything. You say, well, what's the difference? Well, there's some things that are just vexing and grievous and break your heart. And especially when you see other people getting seriously hurt or suffer great loss, weeping with those that weep. I don't go home and thank God for the loss that they have suffered. But I know that in those circumstances that God is going to work. And I can thank Him in those things and in those circumstances, knowing that the Lord goes back to this. I told you that's why I spent time on the scope of God's will, that He is on the throne. There's no reason why God can't step in and stop anything whenever He chooses. I think about Sarah. I think about Brother Scott, you remember when Abraham and Sarah were really not in the place they ought to be, and he puts her in a harem, and the king decides, this is a pretty woman here. I believe I'm going to take her. And the Lord stepped in and said, oh, no, you're not. If you do, you're a dead man. And you know what? He said, man, in the integrity of my heart have I done this. But my point being is, God stepped in at that moment in that situation and said, no, this is not going to happen to Sarah. But he doesn't do that all the time. He doesn't do that for everyone. Do you understand? And so you need to, when you go back to the scope of God's will, at some point, I've got to trust the Lord and I can thank Him. And I'm talking about having an attitude of thanksgiving, an attitude of gratitude. Yeah. Remembering that God is His will is good, acceptable, and perfect. And I'm acknowledging the scope of God's will, that He is on His throne, that He does care for His children. He will comfort them. And there will be a purpose that I cannot see. Therefore, I refuse to demand to understand why of what is going on, and I refuse to bow my knee to be bitter against God, though I cannot figure Him out sometimes. God wants me to be different than the world in my disposition. Look over to Philippians real quick in chapter number 2. We got a couple more verses to look at. Look in Philippians chapter number 2. Look at verse 13. God wants my disposition to be totally different than the world. Verse 13, look at this. This is the scope of God's will. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Therefore, here is now the scale of God's will, my disposition. It says, do all things without what? Murmuring and disputing. Why? That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine. Did you know if you have an attitude of gratitude, you're going to stand out? Do you know if you're not one of those who joins up with the murmuring and the whining crowd that you're going to stand out? You are actually going to be like a light in a dark place. You might just, it may be a cloudy, rainy day and you're working for a construction crew and it's a little cold and everybody's standing around and they're whining and murmuring. Say, why don't the boss just let us off today and with pay? Because, man, it's nasty out here. And you don't join in with the three or four other guys that's going on with that. And they say, hey, man, what's wrong with you? You don't agree with us? And then you step up and say, you know what? I'm just thankful I got a job. And my boss knows what's best. So I'll just tough it out. There's good days and bad days, boys. You think they're going to say, man, I appreciate you saying that. That makes us feel so much better. But they'll remember your attitude. Be thankful. Be grateful. Let God use you. Because He says, if you'll shine His light at some point, that's your life, that's your attitude and spirit. He says, then you can hold forth the word of life. Men are drawn to what they see, and then God will give them something to hear. You'll have something to say, and they'll respect you for it. Turn with me to Proverbs real quick. I want to show you something over here. This will be number 6. Proverbs 14, verse number 26. God would have you to live thankfully. At home, be thankful. At work, be thankful. At church, be thankful. In traffic. Oh, I stopped right there. In traffic, be thankful. Because at least probably, if you're stuck in traffic, you can thank God that every day ain't like this. You can thank the Lord that you're in a climate-controlled vehicle. And you're not sitting on a box crate. It's probably pretty comfortable in what you're sitting in. You can be thankful for some things. I'm looking at my wife in April, and she says, they said, I'm going to remind you of that, Dad, the next time we're in traffic. My wife likes to talk to people in traffic. Do you talk to people when you're driving? She's pretty good at it. She really is. Oh, that's enough. Proverbs 14:26. God wants you to walk your disposition. By I mean by that, He wants you to just do right. Be honest, and as far as being just with people, be merciful, be humble, be charitable, be thankful, but also live confidently. God loves people who have confidence in Him. Now listen, is there a difference between being arrogant and being confident?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there's a big difference. The arrogant, cocky guy is believing in himself. The confident man believes that God will sustain him and has gifted him and helped him be able to do what he does. Look in Proverbs 14 with me, please, in verse 26. And this, and by the way, this will help a young man. You know that if you want a good woman in your life, that women are attracted to men who have confidence, who can lead with confidence, who have some courage,
yes, sir,
that they're doing right, that can go against the flow, that's not just a yes man to the world. The Bible says here, look in verse number 26. He said, the thoughts of the wicked. That's not the verse I'm looking for. You know why? Because I'm in chapter 15. Chapter 14, verse number 26 says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. It's hard to follow a parked car. And if you're going to lead, you need to lead with some confidence, not arrogance. I just trust what the Bible says. And I'm going to commit my decisions that He's right. And I'm going to grab a hold of it, and I'm going to hold on to it until He shows me otherwise. And He says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Now, it's important you turn to Psalm 112 real quick with me, please. I'll give you an illustration of this right here. Look at this man right here that fears the Lord, and he's a man of confidence. I don't think that a man of confidence is a stubborn man. I don't think he's a self-willed man. I think he's reasonable and changeable. When you show him that he's wrong and that this is what God would require of him, because he has confidence in the Lord. Psalm 112. Look at this with me, please. This man that has great confidence in the Lord, number one, he follows the Scriptures. Look at this. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. I want you men to lead your families. And I want you to lead them having confidence in your Bible that God is right. He says he delights greatly in His commandments. So he follows the Scriptures, and this gives him a source of his confidence. Then his family is blessed. Doesn't mean they don't have issues or problems, but they're overcomers. They press on. Verse 2 says, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches. Well, I'll stop at verse 2 there. His family is blessed. Number 3, his finances will be enough. Enough. To survive and supply and to be able to give. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. And then you'll notice his circumstances do not dictate his disposition. He's not one of those moody fellows, depending on how things are going. He's able to maintain a steady disposition. Look what he says here in verse 4. Unto the upright there is light in the darkness, but there is darkness. But God gives him some light. There will be some dark places and dark times, but God will give him some light. And he says he is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. He has not allowed the difficult and dark place to change him. He has remained gracious. He has remained compassionate and does what is right. The Bible says, a good man showeth favor and lendeth, and he will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous, again, verse number 6 indicates that there is some adversity, but the adversity is not changing him. Yeah. Well, that's awesome.
Amen.
There's a man that lives with confidence. You know what that produces? It produces stability in his wife, security in her heart, and in his children.
Right.
And the Bible says, surely he will not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. And I love this. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. Regardless of what comes upon Fox News, or Breitbart, or Newsmax, or whatever you read and listen to, you don't let it cause fear to motivate you in what you do in your decisions. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Now there's a confident man. His confidence is not in himself, but in the Lord. Why? Verse 8, because his heart is established. He shall not be afraid. He will not be intimidated until he see his desire upon his enemies. He has not changed his disposition. Verse 9, he hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. He's not hoarding because he's afraid of the news of what's coming down the pipe. He has continued to give and invest in people. His righteousness endure forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. What a man. God wants you to live confidently. Young ladies, God wants you to be confident in your actions, in your disposition, in how that you carry yourself. You don't have to let older girls or boys intimidate you and manipulate you. You can have confidence in the Lord. That God's going to bless you in His time. He'll take good care of you. You don't need the first Prince Charming that comes along on a horse. Amen? You don't. Last of all, I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 12. God wants you, well, I hope and pray you get a hold of this right here. I worry about some of you, I'll be honest with you. I know I'm not supposed to worry, but I do. I'm confessing a fault to you. I worry about some of you young folks, listen. You want God to really be in your life and bless you and give you some peace and satisfaction? You're going to have to learn to be transparent. And you're going to have to learn to live without hypocrisy in your life. And you got to quit coming to church and pretending to be one way around us and another way at the house. You can't come to church and treat us with great respect and go home and rail at your mom and daddy.
Amen.
God will not bless that. God will not guide your path with an attitude like that. You're going to have a hedge of thorns built around you rather than a paved path for you to walk on. God's not going to bless that. Men, you cannot come to church and act like you love your wife and go home and berate her and belittle her at home. You can't do that and not have God bless your life. That's a wrong disposition. You can't pretend these things. God hates a treacherous spirit. Ladies, God does not want you coming up here and then yielding yourself and showing great respect for the leadership of the church, but when you go home, you have a totally different disposition to your husband.
That's right.
Do we really know each other? Do we really know what's going on in people's lives? I don't want to know everything that's going on in your life, but I would like to know that what I see is you. I'd like to know that what I see is real.
Right.
I can even accept your faults if I know they're real. I mean, in other words, a charity will overcome and overlook a lot of faults that people have, but I said, at least he's real.
Right.
And I know where he's at and I know what he says is true. Look at Luke 12. Jesus said this. I want to help you with this. If you'll listen to me in your disposition, being transparent at work, at home, at church, with your friends. You got this code that you don't tell on each other. Why don't you be transparent with the Lord? Be transparent with your parents. Be transparent with your friends. Look in verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, and insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy spreads like murmuring and discouraging words. Verse 2, he says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. That's an interesting statement. Neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear and closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. And after that, they have no more than they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And that's not the devil, and that's not a man. That is the Lord God. Now, three things about this. Number one, in this passage here, if you want to be transparent, number one, have friends that are real, not friends that are hypocrites. He said, you beware of the influence of others. And he's talking about the Pharisees. He said, they're hypocrites. He said, you beware of the people who influence you. Are they transparent? Are they real? Do they walk with some integrity? So have some good friends. If you've got friends that are influencing you to do some things and hide those things around the people that you love, those are some bad friends. You're playing a dangerous game. You need to, number two, have some faith in God. Because God sees and hears everything that we do. Do you believe that? The scripture says that when you try to cover some things, he says God will reveal them. He says he'll let it be found out. As a matter of fact, Ecclesiastes said, he said, how in the world did you find this out? He said, a little bird told me. I've had to approach people over the years with some issues, and they said, how did you know that? And I told them, a little bird told me. God wants you to be transparent. You know the reason why you are not sometimes is because you don't think people will love you or respect you or receive you because they see that you have dirty socks too. That's where charity comes in. We love each other. We need each other. Have some faith in God. And then have some fear in God. Verse 4 says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. And after that, they have no more than they can do. That's fearing man. He said, but I'm going to tell you who you ought to fear. You fear God. You fear God. You want to be a transparent person? Have some good friends that kind of challenge you, motivate you to do right. And watch them as they even confess their own faults and they get up and they keep pressing on and trying to do what's right. I can respect a man who slips and falls and gets back up and says, man, I'm sorry about that. I don't mean to be like that. Let's move forward. I can respect a man like that than the man who's always pretending that he is not a man of like passions as we are, that he's above temptation, that he never makes mistakes, that he never, ever does anything wrong. I have no respect for a guy like that. And I don't believe it. The guy who's always the hero of all of his illustrations and never fails. I don't respect a guy like that. I pray that you would have good friends, that you'd have faith in God, and that you would have fear in God. All right, I gave you seven things. Can you remember at least one of them? Will you work on this? Will you ask God, say, Lord, am I in your will? Well, when you're not transparent, you just stepped out of it. And when you are losing faith and confidence in God, it grieves him. And when you are unthankful and murmuring and whining about something, you have stepped outside that circle of God's will. And when you are no longer charitable, you are no longer humble, you are no longer merciful, you are no longer just, you have grieved the Holy Ghost. You will lose the peace of God and you will lose the power of God. I don't care where you are geographically. You can move all over the world, but if you don't change your disposition about these things, you'll still be miserable. Amen. Amen.